The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with BDO's Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today's topic is life insurance. Do you have life insurance or do you need life insurance? Do you know how much coverage you should be signing up for? Here to talk about this and much more is Jackie McCann Scott. She's the founder and owner of Invested Mama, Inc. Thanks for joining me today, Jackie.
Thanks for having me, Nancy.
So I'd like to start with just the very basic question around, does everyone need life insurance?
Well, I often get asked that question. People tend to think unless you have dependents and or debts, there's no need for life insurance. And I guess at its core, that's true. When you're speaking about certain types of life insurance, for sure, that have, you know, a purpose, and that is to cover liabilities. Mm-hmm. I would argue, though, that some form of life insurance is needed in everybody's financial plan, regardless of the fact if right now you have debts or you have dependents, because who knows what the future holds. Right. And if you are, you know, healthy now, and if you have the affordability now, even some form of inexpensive term life insurance, which we'll get into, you know, the differences down, you know, as part of our conversation today, is a good idea, right? Because it builds into your financial plan options.
Right.
And like you and I often talk about, you know, a good financial plan is not just about taking care of what I know to be true today, but is preparing me for what may happen down the road. And that's why I always recommend even people that on the surface don't, you know, seem to have that need or may have some cash assets, even those that have lots of money in the bank, it's often a lot less expensive to transfer risk to an insurance company to pay off any future liabilities than to have that money taken out of your bank account or out of your other investments and savings. Right. So I would argue everybody needs some life insurance in a financial plan, but certainly those that have people that depend on them or debts.
Yeah, and I guess you're right. You don't know what's going to change in the future. So even though you might not have dependents or a spouse or anything at this stage mm-hmm. in your life, and you're thinking, you know, I've got the funds to cover my funeral expenses, for example.
Yes.
You don't know what might change in your life. And at that point, it may be far more expensive to get the policy than it would be today.
Absolutely. And a lot of different, you know, most, I would argue, insurance policies right now, even if they start out as short-term, term-type products, have the ability to be converted to, you know, permanent products down the road. Mm-hmm. And even some now have the ability to have that term, let's say you're saying, I want coverage for the next 10 years. Within the first 5 to 7 years, you can bump them out to longer-term options if in that 5 to 7 year window your circumstances change. And, I mean, you know, here we are at the start of 2020. When we think back over the last decade or since the 90s, life changes all the time.
All
so,
the time.
You know, term 10 is the least expensive insurance on the market right now. You can very easily get a little bit that keeps your options open down the road for less than what you'd pay for coffee in the run of a month.
Yeah, and it is so important to think about that stuff and what could change, because I hear that in my practice all the time. I never thought this would happen. I didn't see myself in this position. So lots of things change that people don't anticipate or see coming.
Absolutely.
So there was a recent poll that said 90% of Canadians are dangerously underinsured. The poll showed that 49% of Canadians with dependents surveyed have never purchased life insurance before, and well over 40% are only covered through a work or group benefit plan. One-tenth of respondents that are adequately insured, and I would suggest that 10% of people being adequately insured is a very small number, but less than half of those are confident that they actually have enough coverage, and only about one-third understand what is included in their own life insurance policy. How concerning are the results of that poll, Jackie?
They're concerning, but they're not surprising. I see that every day in my practice. And, you know, people come in and, you know, not to beat up on employee benefit plans and group insurance policies, because they are wonderful. And, you know, they are not as common as they used to be, you know, mm-hmm. generations before. I think they're great, but they can also create a false sense of security mm-hmm. because people think, you know, they'll come in and they'll say to me, well, I don't need insurance because I've got some through work. Well, first of all, do you know how much? Usually the answer to that question is no. If it's a flat amount, which is often common, you're looking at maybe 25 or 50 or 100,000 of coverage. most people we know with mortgages owe more than that, you know, during their working lives. And if it's a couple of times salary, that might end up being a little bit more coverage at the end of the day. But again, it comes down to, is it enough? And I always say to people, you don't control what you don't own. And your employer is giving you access to coverage, but just as they give it, they can take it away. And if the group plan becomes too expensive and they need to, you know, make changes, now here you are with potentially changes to your health, changes to your family circumstances, and you no longer have coverage. Now you're shopping around and insurers are saying, sorry, you know, we're going to charge you more because you're not as healthy or, you know, those types of things. So group life insurance in particular is really, really cheap in the grand scheme of things. I always say to people, keep that, but let's make sure that you have your own self covered as well, so that if that disappears tomorrow, you know, you're not left without options. Again, it comes back to choice.
Well, it could be that you lose your job and then you're without insurance coverage.
Or as we know, this generation, I read a stat the other day that said we're going to change not just jobs, because, you know, we're part of a gig economy. People are moving around all the time. But people are likely coming out of university and colleges and trade schools now to change careers 5 times.
Yeah.
So you might think, I'm going to be this when I grow up. Well, you're going to grow up 5 different times over your working life, and you're going to change careers. So again, and that's a wonderful thing. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things we've fought for as a society is to have the ability to do what we want when we want. So I always say, if you've got your plan in place that you own and you control, that has lots of flexibility built in it, then go crazy. Like, follow those passions, follow those dreams, do what it is you want to do, and you're not owned or tied to any one employer because, well, they have my benefits, I can't leave.
Right.
You know, there's no worse conversation to have with someone than, I'm stuck.
I know. Imagine being miserable in your job and the only reason you can't leave is because you can't afford to get benefits outside of where you are.
Absolutely.
There are various forms of life insurance available. So how do you know which is best for you, and how do you determine the amount of coverage you need? We're going to answer those questions when we return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined in studio today by Jackie McCann-Scott. She's the founder and owner of Invested Mama Inc. So Jackie, we're talking about life insurance today, and we talked a little bit about the importance of having coverage in the first segment. So if people make the decision that they're going to look for their own private policy, how much coverage should they be getting?
Well, I guess traditionally there's lots of rules of thumb that the industry has relied upon. You know, I've heard 7 to 10 times your annual salary is a good starting point. You know, people often talk about insuring your debts. So, you know, when we think of insuring our debts, our first thoughts are mortgage insurance. Right. So, you know, you have a mortgage through a lender. The lender says, I'm going to provide you with life insurance so that if something happens, that debt is paid off. I prefer to take a look at, you know, a couple of different variables. One of those is obviously paying off the debts. You want to leave, you know, your significant other, your dependents debt free. But there's one thing to know that the house is going to be paid off, and there's another thing to know that you can keep the lights on and the fridge stocked.
Right.
And so that means, you know, if you have 2 income earners in a household, and even if you don't, but one of those is a stay-at-home parent who's looking after children, I mean, that has an economic value in the household, no doubt about it. So looking at, if all of a sudden tomorrow an income earner wasn't there anymore and that income disappeared, you don't go from living on 2 incomes or having one person providing all the home, you know, needs and another person earning an income to not needing that overnight.
Right.
So there's still that need to say, okay, if something happened to me tomorrow, first and foremost, let's make sure debts are paid. Then we look at any short-term liabilities. So, you know, when you've lost a spouse, and I've had the unfortunate privilege of helping families through that kind of a loss in my career, and, you know, we need to make sure that you can afford to take some time off to do the grieving that needs to happen and to figure out what the next phase of your life is going to look like with that person no longer in the picture. So having some money there for an emergency fund to take that time off that you need. And then if there are children involved, you know, is their education funded through other plans, or should we have a little bit to top that up so that burden is taken care of? And then, you know, there's the income replacement. So once all that's looked after, you need to have enough left over at the end of the day that it can be invested conservatively, because we don't want to take risks with this money. This is replacing an income, so we have a very short timeline to start triggering that. Mm-hmm. But we could put that somewhere, and you could draw down an income every month from that money to last you to retirement or to life expectancy, whatever you decide is important for you, or till the youngest child is raised and out of the home. And so that devastating event doesn't mean that your income has dropped, as well as, you know, your debts are facing you, you know, in, right in, you know, where you are. Right. So those are the things that I look at, is enough to pay off debts, enough to deal with those things that you've identified are important to you, like a child's education, and then having enough left over to replace the income.
That's great. And we talked a little bit in the first segment about a work plan and the importance of having additional insurance on top of that. So I guess how much insurance you need, would that also come into play on what other insurances you have, or would you look at them completely separate because that plan is not necessarily guaranteed?
Right. So once we've looked at, you know, what the need are, we do go to, okay, what sources of immediate cash would we have available to us to offset some debts? So if you have money in, you know, in investments, you know, even registered investments like RSPs, they would roll over to a spouse tax-free. Yes, but do you want to start collapsing those to pay off debts?
Right.
You know, when you start taking that money out, it's going to trigger a tax consequence. So I don't like to look at that as a source of cash to fund debts. Mm-hmm. We also look at, you know, government sources of income. If you're in a, you know, a common law or married situation, if one spouse dies, there is some income that will come from, you know, the Canada Pension Plan, a survivor's income and a support for children. But again, the amount of that income, while we factor it in, may not be enough. Well, it won't be enough to fully replace a salary
right.
that was coming into the household. And depending on how young you are when you pass away, you haven't been paying into CPP very long, and it's a funded mm-hmm. government benefit. So you may not have very much at all accumulated in that. When it comes to group benefits, I don't factor them in at all. Some advisors may, but again, getting back to my original point, you don't control what you don't own. So I always say, if that happens to be in place when this event happens, and we hope it never does, but if it does, that's just extra money. No one has ever looked at anybody and said, I've got too much life insurance,
yeah, that's right?
Right? So, you know, if it's there, wonderful. If it's gone, then you're still able to sleep at night because you didn't factor that into the plan, and now there's not a shortfall in your plan.
Right. And I guess it's important too, like if you're a young person, you're thinking, I'm going to plan ahead and I'm going to, while I'm young and healthy, get the best rate that I can and get some life insurance. At different stages in your life, I guess you should revisit that. So for example, if you got married, if you had children and mm-hmm. so on.
Absolutely. I really feel that, you know, at least every 1 to 2 years, you should be sitting down and having a look at your insurance policy, because mm-hmm. some of these policies have, you know, milestones or deadlines built into them. So I mentioned, you know, when we talk about what type of insurance you should have, so you've determined the right amount. Chances are some of that need is temporary. So, you know, you have a 25-year mortgage, you have children that will be out of the house in 15 years, you know, hopefully. you have, you know, a student loan that's going to be paid off in the next 8 to 10 years. So, you know, we look down and we say some of these things are very finite. Mm-hmm. There's a beginning and an end, and we hope that they're going to be gone and you're still going to be here. So that's where your term insurance, an insurance policy that, you know, has a 10, 20 to age 65 window, is really important. But some needs are permanent. Mm-hmm. So a funeral expense is a permanent need. If you've decided that you want to keep the family cottage, you know, in the family when both parents are gone, well, there's going to be some tax consequences, you know, when that rolls over to the adult children.
Right.
So you want to have those tax bills looked after. There's also just, you know, legal and probate fees that happen when someone passes away. There may be taxes owing. Maybe you've determined that I really would like to give to this charity or this cause. So certain needs are permanent. So a really good plan will have some permanent, or, you know, whole life, we call mm-hmm. it, insurance built into the strategy, and then some will have term coverage. Now, starting out as a young family, cash flow is always going to determine what is possible. If you can get a little bit of permanent and some term right away, fantastic. But if you can't, at least make sure that cheap 10-year term policy that you have covers all those needs. it's not going to cost you a whole lot. And built into that term policy is the option to bump it out within the first 5 to 7 years to bring you up to 20, 25 years when the children are out of the house and the mortgage is paid. And also the ability to take some of that and lock it into a permanent plan down the road. So you can start with getting the right amount of coverage for the cheapest term, and then, you know, making changes as you're sitting with your advisor and reviewing on an annual or biannual basis. So just making sure those options are there is really, really important.
Right. And I guess that it goes back to what we say every time you and I talk is get the right advice. So don't buy it and sit back and wait until you think you're going to need it to look at it. Get regular advice, have regular conversations with your financial advisor.
Absolutely, because term policies not carefully monitored can be dangerous, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Great. Well, please stay with us. When we return, we're going to talk about the difference in term and whole life policies.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. My guest today is Jackie McCann-Scott. She's the founder and owner of Invested Mama, Inc. So Jackie, we're talking about life insurance today, and we've talked about when people should be considering it and how they should determine what they need and how much. But there's two, I guess, main types of coverage that we've talked about, one being term life insurance and one being whole life insurance. So let's discuss the key differences between both of those for our listeners.
Well, one of the key differences that we talked about in the last segment is that term insurance has a start and an end date. So it's a finite amount of coverage. And I guess if you look at differences in terms of cost, term insurance is by far the least expensive option on the market.
Right.
But that is because when the insurers price that product, they're looking at the likelihood that in that next 10-year period or 20-year period that you're going to pass away. And, you know, that's why it's less expensive, because it's less likely an event that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Permanent insurance, on the other hand, is in force for life, you know, for your entire life until death. So we know there's a 100% chance that that policy is going to pay out at some point.
Yeah.
So you would expect that it's going to be more expensive than term insurance. Most people don't need as much permanent insurance in their portfolio as they need term. So while it is more expensive, usually you're looking at about 10 times more expensive. And I ran some figures, you know, in preparing for the show. So a 50-year-old female non-smoker, just to throw it out there, you know, what kind of prices you can be looking at. Mm-hmm. $500,000 of term 10 coverage is going to run you about $50 a month.
Right.
If you wanted a term 20 policy, you're around $80, $90 a month. That same $500,000 of permanent coverage would be about $500 a month.
Right.
So, you know, the prices are very different. But again, unless you, you know, have a lot of assets to protect, you're a business owner looking, you know, for some other tax advantages, most people, I would suggest, don't have $500,000 of permanent insurance in their portfolio.
Right.
So, you know, 50 to 100,000, you know, is a number that I see quite a bit in my own practice of permanent. So again, the combination of the two. Both policies can have guaranteed premiums for the duration of the contract. Term, you know, always typically does. So for that 10 or 20 years, your rates that you pay for that coverage aren't going to change. The one thing to be really careful of, though, is that if you haven't paid attention to when your term is going to expire or renew, because if you have a 10-year policy at year 10, you know, starting year 11, it will renew for another 10 years, depending on your age. But typically the premiums are going to jump 7 to 10 times then for the same amount of coverage. This is why most people should pay attention to those dates of 5 years in, 7 years in. If I can jump this out now, yes, my rates will go up because I'm locking it in for a longer period of time. But they won't go up 7 to 10 times like they will if you just ignore it until the 10-year anniversary. So it's key, you know, really key that you work with your advisor and you make notes of those, you know, special events that you need to pay attention to. Permanent insurance, similarly, you can have it so that the premium is guaranteed for the life of the policy to remain level, or you can have it so that it increases yearly based on your age. And every year they look at what's the likelihood that this year is going to be the year that you will pass away, and they price it accordingly. Those types of policies have gotten a bad rap in the past because they're cheaper. It's a cheaper way to get permanent insurance when you're young, because they price them based on the likelihood you're going to pass away that year. Right. But they tend to, in our industry, we call them blow up over time. So you're looking at someone who's retiring, you know, limited cash flow, and now, you know, my permanent plan that's been increasing every year, the rates have gotten crazy and I can no longer afford it. And this was supposed to last me for my entire life, and now I'm forced with the decision, do I keep it or do I drop it because I can't afford it?
Right.
So I would suggest, you know, be very mindful of that as you're going into, you know, permanent insurance, is how is the premium guaranteed? Some policies, so there's a couple of different types of permanent insurance you can get as well. There's, you know, the one that's been around the longest, which is considered whole life. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of different options within that. And then there's something relatively new called universal life. It's been around, you know, probably 20, 30 years.
Okay.
So, you know, they are priced a little bit differently as well and have different features within them. And, you know, we can get into those differences now, or we can talk about those in the next segment.
That sounds great, Jackie. When we come back, we'll talk about that exactly. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. I'm joined in studio today by Jackie McCann Scott. She's the founder of Invested Mama, Inc. And we're talking about life insurance today. So we've talked about the two types of insurance, Jackie, term life versus a permanent policy. And within that permanent policy, I guess there's two different types, whole life and universal.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell our listeners about the differences there?
Well, I guess whole life has been kind of the benchmark, or, you know, the gold standard for permanent insurance needs.
Mm-hmm.
With whole life, your premiums are guaranteed, and that minimum amount of insurance that you've selected for coverage is guaranteed as well. There's also something called cash values that accumulate within a whole life policy. You can have a whole life policy that is what they call participating. So you're participating essentially in the, you know, the profit of the company or the insurer that's providing that coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And then non-participating, which, you know, you're just buying your insurance policy. But in both cases, there's going to be some cash that will accumulate inside the policy. And essentially what that is, you know, because I said your premiums are level for the life of the contract. But in the early days of having that coverage, your mortality, you know, was less. So you're actually overpaying for the cost of insurance, and that builds up that additional cash that you're putting in there that will accumulate in the policy over time.
Right.
And, you know, if you live to life expectancy, and they price them based on age 100, they're optimistic, then, you know, that cash value and, you know, the cost of insurance will kind of merge. They will, you know, but if you pass away any time before that, there's likely to be some cash in the policy. And you can choose as the policy owner to say, I want to use that cash to purchase more insurance over time, or I want to use that cash to, you know, pay me a dividend, or you can use that cash to, what a lot of people do is use it to offset the premium down the road. So mm-hmm. I built up cash inside my policy, and I'm going to use that as kind of a loan in retirement to pay my premiums, because that's one less expense that I have on my now fixed income as a retiree.
Right.
Without having to surrender my, you know, my policy. I can keep my policy in force and not have to, you know, have it paid for per se. So, you know, whole life does offer, you know, a lot of flexibility and a lot of guarantees. But one thing that people often complained about in whole life policies is it was almost like a black box. I pay my premium, I know what my death benefit is and the cash, but, you know, how does all that work, right? What is, you know, what's causing that cash to accumulate, because there is some investing happening within the policy, certainly in the non-participating and participating. So that's when universal life was created.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of unbundled, if you will, the various components of the life insurance. So you can see with a universal life policy, I have my pure cost of insurance. Then I have the option to put more than that cost of insurance within the policy. And I, as the owner of the policy and the insured person, more than likely, can choose how I want to have that extra cash invested. I can, you know, be very conservative. I can be very aggressive. And that extra amount that I'm allowed to put in, and the government tells you how much extra you can put into your insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
Has an opportunity to grow within the policy. But it also has an opportunity to not grow. So that's, you know, you're just like any investment, there could be some risk associated with it.
Right.
whether or not that cash in the policy grows so that you can do things like, you know, skip your premiums down the road, or whether it doesn't grow and you get a notice saying you have to pay more now to offset the fact that you lost within the policy. So, you know, universal life, while it does offer flexibility, sometimes, it can be a little more dangerous than the guarantees we see in the whole life. But people liked it because, relatively speaking, it can be a little less expensive for your permanent solution, because you can choose just to pay the cost of insurance. And, you know, a recent study from LIMRA showed that that's what most people did. When universal life came out, most people said, I will pay the minimum amount I have to keep this permanent coverage in place. And what ends up happening with that is, you know, if life happens, which it will, and you have to miss a payment, you could have been paying for your policy for, you know, 20, 30 years, and now all of a sudden it's lapsed, right? So at least by, I would suggest putting a little bit more, even if within the policy, that little bit of extra cash you're putting in over and above the cost of insurance goes into a safe investment vehicle like a GIC or, you know, high interest savings within the account. At least when life happens, you got a little bit of cash there to say, I'm going to use that cash to pay this month's premium or the next 6 months' premium, and not find yourself, you know, without coverage at a time when you need it most.
Right.
So, you know, be careful what you wish for. We asked for more choice and we asked for more transparency. And now as humans, we've got to manage that, right? And so again, it's really, really important that you understand the differences. You work with an advisor that understands the differences, and together you come up with a plan that, you know, protects you today and down the road for sure.
Right. And it comes down to planning, right? Oftentimes people think, even when it comes to retirement savings, I've got time for that. I need that cash now. Mm-hmm. And so when they're looking at those policies, they may be thinking that same thing. Well, like, I just want to pay the basic amount because I need that cash now, not thinking about what could happen in the future, and it would be a lot harder to reestablish that policy if it lapses, right? And going to be far more expensive than the few dollars that you made before going to make sure you can afford to make those payments if something does happen to your income.
Absolutely. And I guess there was a tendency to think that unless you were, let's say, a business owner or someone who was self-employed, who didn't report a lot of T4 type income, so you didn't have a lot of RSP room, you know, putting extra cash in your permanent insurance policy and allowing that cash to grow on a tax preferred basis, you know, within that insurance policy, was a great way and is a great way to access that cash for retirement. You know, a lot of times we can, you know, business owners I see will assign a policy to a bank as collateral and, you know, and get a loan to take income from the bank, knowing that if something happens or when something happens, the bank will get paid the loan out of the cash in your insurance policy. Your family or your beneficiaries will receive the death benefit portion of the policy, and everybody's, you know, good to go. So, you know, because there are some sophisticated planning you can do within permanent insurance, people thought, well, unless I have those sophisticated needs, I shouldn't put any additional cash in. Now, you're not probably going right up to the maximum tax amount that you can put into a policy, but I would suggest every person with permanent insurance, if you have universal life, should put a little bit more than the minimum in there, because regardless of your income and, you know, lifestyle and employment situation, life will happen. Having that little bit of an emergency fund built into your policy will benefit you at some point down the road. I can almost guarantee it.
Right. And is there an individual, Jackie, who would benefit more from whole life versus universal? Like, would you say there's a particular client that you would recommend one or the other, or is every situation completely different when it comes to deciding?
I think, you know, again, I always say this is no disrespect to politicians, but this is my political answer. It depends. It always depends. I will say that if you're not someone who is interested in taking an active role in the investment choices within your policy, whole life is the better option because that is done for you.
Right.
And because of the size of the fund, certainly in participating policies, there's what we call a smoothing effect. So you're less likely to, you know, have to be concerned about your insurance policy when markets do what markets will do, which will go up and go down. So it's a little less hands off, a little bit more set it and forget it. The universal life is, you know, I would recommend for people that are more cost sensitive and or people that want to take a more active role in the investment portion of their permanent insurance. So if that's not you, maybe whole life is the better way to go. But again, it really depends. I would suggest that neither way is better or worse than the other. It's just what you're comfortable with.
Right. And I guess talking to your advisor to find out exactly how it'll work, what your responsibilities will be, what your risks are and stuff like that is what it's going to come down to making the decision.
Absolutely.
Well, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about where you can purchase insurance, especially if you think you're hard to insure. We'll be right back.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guest today is Jackie McCann Scott. She's the founder and owner of Invested Mama Inc. So, Jackie, we've talked a lot about life insurance and the different types of insurance. So, if listeners out there are thinking now, okay, you know what, I need to look into this, I need to figure out what's best for me, how do they go about purchasing insurance? I mean, you see ads on the TV all the time about, no medical required, and you'll always qualify for insurance here. And I always think, you know, is that the best option for people? Like, would mm-hmm. they be better off talking to an individual that can actually explain everything to them, and they may qualify for things that they don't think they'll qualify for example?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, that the internet is a wonderful place to do some basic research. So mm-hmm. at least when you do sit down to talk to a financial advisor or an insurance broker, you've got some idea what questions to ask and some idea of what kind of, premium that you likely will be looking for, right? I have no problem with someone doing some research and coming in with a few, quotes prepared so that we've got a place to start, because I feel then at least my client is engaged in the process and they're mm-hmm. interested.
Right.
So that's a good thing. I do struggle with purchasing coverage through, some of these robo-advisors and these websites, because again, I don't think they, even though they'll quickly generate prices for you and they'll quickly generate, no medical applications and those types of things, is it, again, the right amount of coverage? I don't think they necessarily do a great job there. And is it the right type of coverage, which we've talked about? And there's extensive differences there.
Right.
Most of those websites are just going to sell you cheap term coverage, and that may not be, a holistic approach for you.
Right.
The other side of that is no medical. For people that are hard to insure, there are a lot of companies out there that will now gladly take your business. But again, be careful with that. I don't have a problem with the no medical, but don't pay that extra premium for no medical just for convenience if you would be perfectly able to qualify for a fully underwritten product,
right.
A product that you have done a medical for. Because a lot of times, depending on your age, depending on the amount of coverage that you're, applying for, even your traditional insurers right now have accelerated or preferred, medical underwriting in place. And I'm talking, large insurance companies with, good rates to offer you,
mm-hmm.
because they've got so much data now. That's the other good side of the whole robo-advice world, is that they can look and say, I don't need to get blood and urine from this person, because I can tell from, their lifestyle and their height and weight and their family history and their smoking status and the answers they've provided on the application that they would qualify for coverage with no additional required. And I say to clients, if they do require additional upfront, if, you've answered yes to a question and they want to see a little bit more from your doctor's report, or a nurse is going to come in and take, a blood sample and a urine sample, at the end of the day, I'd much rather be going through that inconvenience, if it were, to get the best rate possible
mm-hmm.
while I'm healthy and no one has died, life is good. And when that policy is issued, I feel confident that the insurance company has all the information they needed to give me their best offer, and I can put that in my filing cabinet, tell my beneficiary and my executor about it, and forget about it, and know that when I do need that policy to pay out, it will pay out, more often than not. Sometimes the policies that are like, just answer a couple of yes, no questions, and yeah, you're covered in 2 minutes or less. Okay, I'm always concerned, what happens when that person dies?
Right.
Are they going to go back then and say, now we want to have, this, this, and this from your doctor, and we're going to, look
excluded
a little deeper, and now there's this long period of time before your beneficiary gets the money that you intended them to get. And who helps at that phase? Anybody can help you at the putting in place and the selling phase.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've had the unfortunate, experience, and as I said, of walking families through a death claim. So someone has passed away, and sitting down and letting them grieve and you know, saying this is what's going to happen, and holding their hand and walking them through that process.
Right.
Receiving that check and sitting down and helping them decide how they're going to move forward at this next phase in their life. You know, yes, you can purchase insurance online, but when the check shows up and there's no one there to help you through that process, or maybe no one even knows there was a policy in place in the first place now, and no one, you know, how many policies never get claimed?
Right.
But if there's an advisor that's meeting with their client on a regular basis that knows the family situation, they're going to know when someone has passed away. You know, I've attended many awakened funeral for clients, and you know, you sit in that service and you feel the weight of responsibility that I am going to now have to have this rubber hit the road. The plan we put in place, the intentions that this deceased person had for their family, now it's my job to see that those wishes are fulfilled using the funds and the policy. You know, there's no robo-advisor sitting in that room when that happens.
That's right.
And that's the thing that, you know, I often say to people when they're looking at, where's the cheapest and quickest place I can get coverage? This is an important decision. Is, you know, quick and dirty the thing you really want to use to define it? You know, have a conversation, because chances are it's going to be no less, you know, inexpensive and no more complicated to sit with someone and to have that person as part of your team than it would be just to purchase it online. So, you know, do your homework. That's the first thing. So you know what questions to ask and what you should be paying. So you're, you know, getting good rates. You can challenge your advisor. We don't mind being challenged. But then work with someone just to, you know, again, bring that person into your team.
Absolutely. Never assume that you're not going to qualify. Never assume that the coverage will be too expensive and you can't afford it. Sit down and get the advice to find out what is possible for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as an advisor, I broker with several different companies, and even people that think it's impossible for me to get coverage, you'd be amazed. There's so many niche insurers out there now that will take someone, you know, with family history or with lifestyle challenges or with, you know, different health issues themselves. Yes, you may pay a little bit more, but again, pennies on the dollar compared to what your family will receive in a tax-free death benefit if something were to happen to you.
Right. And I just, before we move on, Jackie, to the next segment, I just want to touch briefly on mortgage insurance, because you and I have talked about this before, and we brought it up briefly earlier to say that your bank will often say, we'll insure you for your mortgage, so if something happens, the mortgage will get paid off. But we've talked before about how you may be better off taking the money that you're going to spend on that and putting it into something that's going to cover not only your mortgage, but other areas of your life in a more formal life insurance policy, not just a mortgage life insurance policy.
And again, as I said before, you don't control what you don't own. So mortgage insurance is great if you're planning on keeping your mortgage with that lender for the full, you know, 20, 25 years that you're going to have a mortgage. But if you choose to leave, oftentimes you can't take that insurance with you.
Right.
And now you've got to hope you requalify at the next lender's, you know, place. Or if you know you won't, or you feel you won't, now you're stuck.
Right.
Again, stuck is never a good place to be in your financial plan. The other thing is that the beneficiary on those mortgage policies is always the lender. They're going to get what's owed to them at the time of death. You know, you said it yourself, Nancy, with a standalone insurance policy, even if it's just meant to cover the mortgage, chances are the benefit's going to stay level, whereas mortgage insurance through a lender, the benefit goes down with every mortgage payment you make.
Right.
Typically, your premium doesn't, though.
Right.
So why not fix both the benefit and the premium? And why not have the choice to say who your beneficiary is going to be? Because the surviving spouse or partner may not want to stay in the house if you're not there to share it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they receive that benefit from the policy, they still may decide to stay in the house, pay some of the mortgage off to lower their overall carrying costs of the mortgage. But the rest they may invest to draw down an income. They may put a for sale sign on the lawn and take that money and start over in a new town, a new home, a smaller place, whatever the case may be. Again, owning that mortgage policy yourself as a private plan versus having it tied up with the lender, I think gives you way more options.
Right. You have options of what you're going to do. And it'll be better explained to you, I think, on what your qualifications are, because that's one of the things that I find in any conversation I've had about mortgage insurance, which I don't have, is it's not really explained on what the loopholes are, when it may not pay out, when it could pay out, and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
I think sitting down with an advisor that deals with this all the time, that's advising you on your life insurance, not just one little piece of mm-hmm. your life,
is
going to benefit you far more. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to have some time for some final thoughts.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money with BDO. I'm Nancy Snedden. I'd really like to thank my guest today, Jackie McCann-Scott. She's the founder and owner of Invested Mama, Inc. So, Jackie, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. What final piece of advice would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Final piece of advice, I guess, is I have been in situations where a family was left an insurance policy, and I've been in situations where they haven't. Mm-hmm. And I know which one was easier on the people that you love and the people you leave behind.
Right.
So I think that you should assume nothing when it comes to whether you'll qualify for life insurance, how much that insurance is going to cost you. Always, you know, have a conversation. And I think every topic we have, Nancy, ends with these same final thoughts, because I think conversations are so important.
So important.
Assume nothing. It costs nothing to sit down and have a conversation with an advisor and just see if insurance is something that you need and, you know, and something you can afford. You know, at the end of the day, a life insurance policy doesn't bring back a loved one, but it helps that person see their wishes fulfilled and allow them to continue to take care of the people they love, even when they're no longer here to do it themselves. And that's really, really important.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you're right. We say it all the time, no matter what the topic, that you can never replace the advice of sitting down with someone, right? And actually talking about your own personal situation and not making assumptions on a topic that you're not an expert in yourself. And the internet is a great source to learn some things, but you need to be careful about the sources that you're getting that information from. So to your point earlier, find out what questions to ask, you know, get a general understanding of maybe the terminology, but then go sit with someone where you can ask the questions and make sure you do have a thorough understanding about your individual situation.
I had a lady in the other day who was so opposed to getting life insurance. She felt superstitious. She was like, oh, just do it quickly, because she was afraid. And she said, when I start talking life insurance, I'm going to die tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well, let's get it in place. I'm pretty much sure that's not going to happen. And when her policy came in, she said, I feel so much relief. You know, so again, don't avoid this stuff because it seems like it's, you know, morbid. It's not. Right. It's about taking care of the people you love.
I know. I always think back to my my good friend Al Antle. He always says, you don't know what you don't know. Right? So talk to someone and find out what you need to know.
Absolutely.
For you. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Jackie. And if someone wanted to reach out to get some more information on what policy might be beneficial for them, how do they do that?
They can check out my website at investedmama.com, or they can send me an email, jackie@investedmama.com.
Thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you, Nancy.
Always good to have you. So as always, I do want to hear from you, our listeners. If you have a comment or question or maybe a topic you'd like me to discuss on Your Money, you can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give us a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.